This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. This is chapter 21, 46 verses with commentary and translation and commentary. And then we also have part four of regeneration. And we also have several responses here by letter and email and so on. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint with his outward anointing this service. We have the inward anointing, Lord. You're inside of us. We're saved. We're born again of the Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the outward anointing that we need for the ministry, because the outward anointing causes us to know what to say and where to go and what to do and who to witness to. And when you want us not to witness to somebody, you put down your hand and close off the spirit so that it can't be done. Lord, we ask that everyone in Radio Land that you want to hear this message, open their ears. I know you want everybody to hear it, but there are some people that are really wicked, some people that just don't want to hear what you have to say, and Lord, I still pray that you anoint them. Open their ears and their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes so that they can hear the truth and that they can see that your word is absolutely true, that they might be saved. But even your word states that there are some people that you actually send delusions to because they have no love for your word, and therefore you send them strong delusion that they cannot hear the truth, that they cannot know the truth, that they will believe a lie, the lie that the Word of God is not the truth, and that they will then be damned for their unbelief, their lack of love for your Word. We love your Word, Lord. I do, because I know that it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, but those to believe only to those that that believe. So, Lord, give us everyone spiritual awakening. Awaken their eyes and ears. In Jesus' mighty name we pray that they might be saved. Amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
It's a phone room response from Omaha, Nebraska.
All right.
A woman from Omaha, Nebraska called our phone room and said she found part of one of your newsletters on the ground in her parking lot, and she read the part that she had and really liked it. Then the next day she found another page of the same newsletter on the ground in her parking lot again, but this time in a different area. She read the second part that she had, and she was really edified and wished that she had the other pages that were missing. Then, the following day after that, she found the missing third part, which was the front page of the newsletter. It had blown into her parking lot. She said she knows the Lord wanted her to become part of this ministry and have this literature, because obviously someone threw the literature away in pieces so no one else would have it, but the Lord put all three parts back together, because she found all three parts in three different places. She said your literature is so informative. She said she learned something she never knew before and that no one has ever taught it or preached it the way you did, even though many preachers have tried to preach on that same subject but never made sense to her until the way you explained it in your literature. Jesus never said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
No, he never said that, because God never forsook him. What he actually said in the Aramaic language on the cross was, my God, for this cause came I into the world. All the time he was telling his disciples that he was going to die on the cross and then be raised on the third day. Why would he say, why have you forsaken me? For when all throughout the Old and New Testament it says that this is why he came into the world, was to show us the reality of God, and he came into the world to show us the way that we had to be in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that he came into the world even in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He tells us that he would be cut off for the sins of the world. that he would be cut off, killed for the sins of the world, for our transgressions. Amen?
Amen.
So, then all the time, many times throughout the gospel, he was telling his disciples that he says, the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, is going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be the chief priests and the officials are going to have me put to death, and I will rise on the third day. Why in the world would he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He asked the Lord to please, if there's any possible way, to let the humility and the torture of that cross pass from him, but nevertheless, your will be done. The Bible also says that he despised the shame of the cross, just like there are many things in our lives that we despise doing, but we're called to be living sacrifices unto the Lord, to do what he says, because he bought us from out of the condemnation of the law. The law condemns us, but the Lord gave his life so that we would no longer be condemned by the law if we would get all of our former sins forgiven. Okay, once they're forgiven, then the law does not condemn us any longer so long as we don't sin again. However, if we do sin again, then we fall back under the condemnation of the law, and the Lord does no longer, there remains no more forgiveness for us, no more sacrifice. Because in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, behold, I am he who is dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And so that means that he's not going to die again. No matter if you sin again, he's not going to die again, and then you sin again, and he's going to die again for you. He died once, and that's enough, and he resurrected once, and now he's alive forevermore. And so therefore, when he enters into our bodies, he fills us with his powerful spirit, so that we don't have to sin anymore, that we have more than enough power, we become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And people that say, well, it's just too hard to be a Christian, is because, as it says in the book of James, where comes these fightings and these wars, this bad disposition that we have? And it says it comes from the lusts in your own flesh. People have lusts in their own flesh because they don't give their entire hearts, they don't turn their entire lives as a living sacrifice over to the Lord. They still will not turn loose of their own life. They will not go on serving the Lord. But the Lord came into this world and did everything that the Bible says that he would do. And so why in the world would he all of a sudden become like a ordinary man instead of a God man and say, oh God, why have you forsaken me? When in reality he knew all the time that that's why he came into the world, was to die for the sin. He was the Lamb of God. He was the God man that laid his life down so we could be saved. This isn't a forsaking. See, the translators of the King James Version made a very bad mistake there when they put that down. Because the Aramaic language is done in such a way to where a dot has a great meaning. For instance, where it says it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than, but they say it's easier for a camel to go through eye of a needle. It isn't, it means the same thing. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle, neither can a rope go through the eye of a needle. But nevertheless, it's like almost a half of a figure eight, and then there's a dot on top and a dot on the bottom. That would be a camel or a rope, one of the two. And one of them, they left the dot out, you know, which means camel. If they put the dot in, it would be rope. Okay, so that explains. You ought to get one of the Aramaic Bibles because that written by Lampsa. What is his full name?
George
Lampsa. It's a good Bible because at the beginning of it, there's like It tells all of the mistranslations of the King James Version. That doesn't mean that the Bible's wrong. It just means that those that translate it were wrong. Other than that, the King James Version is a fantastic Bible, but they just... Aramaic is just an old, ancient language that very few people speak today, but Mr. Lampsa is a... he's passed away now, but there are some of his people that are still alive, and they will send you all the information you want, and his Bible is very much like the King James, with the exception of he tells you all the different mistranslations in the King James Version. There must be about 25 or 30 of them. Okay, and so I get that. But the Lord knew all the time that he came to die for the sins of the world. He didn't say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, just like the people back then thought that when he was saying, Eloi, Eloi, calling upon the Lord, they thought he was saying, Elijah, Elijah, save me. But, you know, it's just human error. And there's nothing, no error, as all Scripture was given by inspiration to the prophets, and it means exactly what it says. The Bible, if you study it in the original text, Hebrew, Aramaic, Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews, you're going to find that the Bible is absolutely divine, absolutely 100% pure. It is the only truth that is on the face of this earth that will get you into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so now continue on with her letter.
She said she is a born-again Christian and found your literature extremely uplifting and very encouraging, and asked for all the other issues of literature that you have written, and she asked for literature to distribute on a regular basis to lost souls in her city. She said she wants to help get these messages out and asked for 500 to distribute. She said this was a move from God. Her name is Nancy from Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, I've had two or three out of the millions of people that we witnessed to write me saying, don't you think it would be better if you didn't tell people that part of the truth? Because it'll cause them to lose faith in the Bible. I said, well, if they lose faith from the truth, well, then let them. You know, they have a choice to accept it or not. And I said, you know, I'm writing what the information that I get from the Bible, and I have a reputation for being brutally honest. And if that would throw your soul that Jesus said, this is the reason I came here, I mean, that would be bringing false accusations against God the Father. And he said, the Father is always with me. That means that the Father, the Spirit of God, actually went to the cross with him. So it was the whole Godhead in Christ, and the human being Christ that was crucified there on that day. So, you know, if the truth offends you, well then, the Lord said, blessed are ye if I, the truth, do not offend you. He said this to John the Baptist. He sent his messengers back to him with that statement, saying, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And meaning me, Jesus, Jesus is the Word of God. And we want to get it straight. That's why the Lord says that we're supposed to study the Word, not just from King James, but from the original text as well. Hebrew, Aramaic, Hellenic Greek. Oh, but it's too much hassle. It's too much hassle for your soul, right? Your everlasting soul that's going to spend eternity. You people spend years in universities to impress your colleagues and, you know, different peers of yours and maybe your children so you can see hang degrees on the wall. And then as you graduate, you're just going to hang your shingle up on the wall so that you can take in customers. That might be the day you die. And then look at all that effort for nothing, and then you spend eternity in the lake of fire. What good is that? Spend more time studying as to where your soul is going to spend eternity, to plan to get your soul into the kingdom of heaven, rather than the frivolous universities and colleges and a piece of paper that they give you for spending all that money with them so that you can get this degree. And they look so astute, you know, like they really got a lot of sense. Listen, you know, I'll take a scrub lady or a butler or something that's born again of the Spirit, and they're far wiser than a person that has 1,000 degrees on their wall and still don't know the Lord, don't have eternal life. Okay, then what?
Then an email from Nigeria, Africa. The Alamo newsletters has been a great usefulness for my ministries. With this newsletter, we have grown in number tremendously. More souls have been like never before. May God keep Tony Alamo alive and empower him the more.
Yes, Lord, keep me alive. If you do, I'd love to be where you are, Lord, but I'd love to stay alive if that's what you want, to win more souls like this. I love these letters. It encourages me to hear these letters, and I pray that it encourages you as well. Okay, then what?
That was from Pastor O.K. in Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord.
Then another email from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain to receive power and honor. I wish to express my sincere gratitude to you for your wonderful work that God is using you to do throughout the world. Praise God. Pastor, I want to give an account to you about the literature that you have been sending to me. I am happy to inform you that through your literature, I have been able to gather about 55 youths in my area, where I tell them about the Lord every Sunday. Pastor, how God is using you to transform lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please send 10 t-shirts to give to some of the deserving members of this church.
You just need to send the sizes, did he?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then what?
Pastor, as a young leader, I would like you to send me some of your preaching video CDs to enhance my understanding. God richly bless you. Please continue sending the literature from Shiman in Ghana, Africa.
Well, I just pray that you have a lot of storage room, because I've done so many tapes now that a lot of people find it hard to store them all. You know, like my brother, I make sure he gets them on. He's got them in huge cardboard boxes, and he said he listens to every single one of them, and he wouldn't do anything otherwise. That's my brother Danny, and who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Is that all? All right, now let's get into chapter 21 of the book of Matthew with its 46 verses, and we'll go with the translation because I've been talking quite a bit here and don't want to use up the entire tape.
The triumphant entry, verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Verse 2. Quote, go into the village over there, unquote, he said. Quote, and you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them here. Verse 3. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, quote, the Lord needs them, unquote, and he will immediately send them. Verse 4. This was done to fulfill the prophecy. Verse 5. Quote, tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt. Unquote. Verse 6. The two disciples did as Jesus said. Verse 7. They brought the animals to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Verse 8.
Well, you know, the people would do that. If you were touching blind eyes and they were healed, they'd do that for you as well. Not only that, couple that with touching people that have cancer and leukemia and leprosy. If you did that, like Jesus did, why, they'd be laying coats down for you as well. If you were going to people that were crippled all their life and saying, raise up, and you did, the people did, well, people would lay down coats for you. Also, if you were riding on a donkey, they wouldn't care. They'd lay their lay themselves down for you to tread over the top of them if you did that. And couple that with raising people from the dead and healing them of every manner of sickness. You know, wouldn't you think that they would do the same thing for you? Well, they didn't do the same thing for you or I or anybody else before we were saved, because we've never done anything like that. Now that I'm saved, anyone that really believes the gospel and is sick, everyone so far that I've ever prayed for, they get healed immediately. All right? And I don't want people to walk over the top of me or to lay down any coats or anything. Because, you know, if the Lord himself was here, and he is in the people that are saved, we're the actual continuation of God's, the Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation here on earth. And even though we're doing the same kind of works, what they think is that they need to persecute us, throw us into prison, say all kinds of false stories about us and all these kind of things, rather than lay down coats and stuff. But the people, the Lord had done so much of this openly in Israel, cast out demons by the thousands. Just from one man, there was over 2,000 demons cast out into the pigs. You know, we're doing the same thing, but not as prevalent as the Lord, because people don't focus on anything that's godly today. They focus on rap music and drugs, and they love to be in another world because they're so afraid they're going to get blown up or germ warfare is going to get them. So they think that they're living it up, you know, to get involved in all kinds of sins. Pornography, free sex, lesbianism, homosexuality. Let's try everything, you know, because we're going to die pretty soon anyway. But what you don't realize is that because you're doing all that and not paying any attention to the Lord, you're sending your souls into the lake of fire, which will burn forever, and you'll be living in torments and anguish and so many horrible things that will be happening to you throughout eternity. You won't be living it up then, so it's better to discipline yourself in this world now and receive the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. Trying everything in this world, the Bible plainly states that this will not give you any benefit whatsoever. The more you try, the more depraved you get. The more you try to do the things of the world, the more condemned you are. So receive the Lord Jesus Christ and stop this foolishness so that your soul can be saved. And don't be trying to persecute me, because persecution doesn't mean anything to me. I embrace it because I know that I'm doing a great work from the Lord the more that I'm persecuted. So it doesn't bother me, all right? I'm not bothered. But I'm just doing this for your benefit. You've never had a better friend in this world as far as a human being or a God man is concerned than me, because I don't care what people think about me as long as I get to tell you the truth. And as long as I'm telling you the truth, I feel good in the eyes of God. I know that I'm blessed. And I'm telling you that you're cursed. If you're listening to me because you think I'm entertainment, well, you'll find out at the judgment bar of God that you were thinking the wrong thing. You know, you were really worried about the wrong thing, and you was thinking about the wrong thing. You better straighten up and read the Bible and straighten up the way the Lord tells you to straighten up, because you're going to be judged. You're going to die. And when you do, all the things that you're doing, if you're a lesbian, you're going to be so ashamed of it, or a homosexual, or a voyeur, or any of the other things that the Bible, an adulteress, a fornicator, a liar, a thief. And if you don't love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as much as yourself or more than yourself, prefer others before yourself, you're going to hell in the lake of fire, and there's just no other way. Now, you can hear smooth things from other preachers, nice things, oh, that God is just all love, but read the Bible and you'll see that he's also hate. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, because Esau didn't care anything about the inheritance of God. He didn't care anything about the kingdom of heaven, but Jacob did. And the Bible says that God is a God of wrath. And he also is a God that gets very angry. And he's a God that is a terrorist. He said he'll terrorize people. Why you want to live in a dream world on your drugs or whatever you're on, or your delusions? Snap out of it. Get saved. Read the Bible. See if I'm telling you the truth or not. And if you hate the Word of God, then He sends you strong delusion. And therefore you do believe a lie. And to your own damnation. So because God said, if you hate my Word, I hate you. I'll send you strong delusions that your souls may be damned, that you may spend eternity in the lake of fire. So there's many people, most of the people in the world are operating on delusions. They think they're right. They think that everyone can just do whatever they please. But not so according to the Bible. The Bible says we must be saved, that we must be consecrated, we must follow the Lord. We must deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow the Lord instead of following your own pattern of life or your own will or that which you think is right. Because this person thinks they're right, and they have one way of living, and another person thinks they're right, and they have their way of living. And then this one thinks they're right, and this one thinks he can blow you up, and another one thinks that you should be able to blow him up. You know, you're all crazy, every single one of you, unless you're following the Lord. The Lord is the only sane one in the universe. And so people say, well, what's sane? What's right? What's wrong? The Lord is right. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the only way that you can have eternal life. Anyone trying to attempt to get into the kingdom of heaven, except through the Lord Jesus Christ, through me, he said, through him, he said, is a liar, and a robber, and a thief. Amen?
Amen.
There are thieves and robbers trying to enter into the kingdom of heaven any other way. And there's only a kingdom of heaven and a pit of hell. And if the only way you get into the kingdom of heaven is to go God's way. And so you do have to discipline yourself. You've got to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is Holy Spirit, and it is life. Okay, then what?
Verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Yeah, if your little daughters or sons were dying of leukemia or some dreaded disease, and I came in and I touched them and healed them, wouldn't you want to lay your coat down on me so I could get across the mud puddle? Hmm?
Amen.
Yes, or your mother or your dad or someone that you love, your wife, your husband. Sure you would. Well, Jesus did this for everybody, okay? And he'll do it for you still if you'll repent and ask the Lord to come into your heart and wash all your sins away. And then you'll be able to do these things too, because these signs follow everyone that believes. You can tell a person that believes. Like if I'm praying for people and when I do and they get healed, you can know for sure that I believe the gospel. It certainly wouldn't happen if I believed not the gospel, because nothing... I know all kinds of people that don't know the gospel, and I've never seen one miracle out of them. But people see miracles coming out of me all day and all night. Amen?
Amen.
Every day. And it's not because I'm anyone special, because the Lord will do the same thing for you. These signs follow all those who believe. All right? So if you want to have power in God, believe the gospel, and you'll have it too. This should be a great sign for you to know that the things that I'm saying are the truth. All right? You've been brain-dirtied by the world government, which is part of the Antichrist. Antichrist is the Vatican controlling the one-world government, the one-world church cult, and the news media, the major news media that is just brain-damaging people all day long and all night long. Okay, let's continue on. And that's Bible. I'm not making that up. I would not have the power to heal people or to raise the dead, which I've done before, which the Spirit of God through me has done before, or cast out devils or heal, if I were telling any lies whatsoever, because no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. And there is no liar that's going to be able to have any supernatural powers to heal the sick or to cast out devils, to raise the dead, or to heal blind eyes, and to raise up people from being lame, or a lot of people were having to go in to have operations. They had horrible fevers, and they it was their appendix and things like that. I'd lay hands on them and pray for them. They get up, they're perfectly cool, the fever's gone, and they've never been operated since, and that's years and years ago. One man was Victor Paredes, another one was Sil Primos, and the others, there's been so many of them since. And if you've got a headache right now, if you'll just, to show you that I am a person of the Lord, just receive your healing from that headache right now, and I guarantee you your headache is gone. All right? Just as a sign that I'm telling you the truth and that I'm a man of the Lord. Now, you got a headache? I pray that you do. It's gone right now. All right? And if it's not, send me a card and letter. I don't believe you. All right, then what else?
Verse 9. He was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting, quote, "Praise God for the Son of David!" Exclamation mark. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming in the name of the Lord, too. We're the continuation of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in us with the Father by the Spirit. Now, we're not Jesus, but we're the body of Jesus. We're the body of Christ, as the Bible says. We're a corporate body of maybe millions of people. And all of us that are members of his body can heal, can pray, and people will be healed because it's the Lord that does it. Okay? And it's belief in his word that does it. All right, then what?
Praise God in highest heaven! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 10. The entire city of Jerusalem was stirred as he entered. Quote, "Who is this?" unquote, they asked. Verse 11. And the crowds replied, quote, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee," unquote.
Yeah, and he also is the Son of the living God. He is actually the human that is carrying the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit in him and with him. And it's the Spirit of God in him that was casting out demons and raising the dead and healing everybody that he came in contact with that asked him. Okay, then what?
Jesus clears the temple. Verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants and their customers. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those selling doves.
See the zeal of the Lord, because the Bible states that the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. So he goes in there and does that, and some false teachers say that he had a bad temper. The Bible says, "Be ye angry." It's a commandment to be angry at satanic things. When they make a merchandise, like I've been in Jewish temples where they're having auctions and they're selling paintings and all kinds of stuff like this. This is repugnant to God. And so there's such a thing as righteous indignation. And the Lord wasn't throwing any tantrum there. He actually took the time, made a whip, and went in there and started beating them out of that temple because he wants people to know that God doesn't go for that. Okay? Get the money changers out of here. The temple of God is to worship God, not to sell things or to have raffles or to pitch for money. That's for the house of God. Okay? Now, that might be a crude awakening for a lot of you because you've heard so many false prophets doing these things. You've seen them doing it, and you watch them all the time doing it. But I'm telling you what God, he right here, is telling you. This is angers the Lord. And I told you that he gets angry because they say, well, you have to have anger management. You know, to be angry at the word of God is a sin. And I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And if you're angry at that, then you're sinning, okay? I'm telling you that God is angry at people that make a place of the Lord a place of merchandising. Like they made the, if you'll take it this way, it's the temple of God and they're making it into a Walmart. Okay? Do you want to do that to your church? Or if you have a church, perhaps it's a cult that you're going to. There's more of those than there are churches, you know. But you will not see anything sold in my church, the church that the Lord has given me to be the pastor of. My church is not. If you want to go to Walmart, go there. If you want to sell something, get a little roadside stand. But keep it out of the church. And so God, the Lord is not throwing a tantrum here. He's telling people, get out of here now. And they wouldn't, so he took a whip. And he turned the things over to show that it's nothing but trash. And the things that they're doing in there are get their souls into hell and the lake of fire. And that he just wants them to know that for their own soul's sake. Okay, then what?
Verse 13. He said, quote, the scriptures declare, quote, my temple will be called a place of prayer, unquote. But you have turned it into a den of thieves, exclamation mark.
Not saying that Walmart is a den of thieves. But it's a Walmart or a place of thieves. Because why is it a den of thieves? Because they're robbing God. They're in there selling stuff to put in their pockets. And it should be a place where you pray to God, worship God, and give tithes to the church. Okay? Does that anger you? I pray not. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them there in the temple.
See? The blind and the lame, people that couldn't walk, people that were blind. Do you know what it's like to be blind? Put some blindfolds on you for about a week. Try to get around. And then, miraculously, take them off and see how wonderful it is to see. The Lord says that we're supposed to put ourselves in the place of others. If you can't receive that as verbally, then, put the blindfold on you for an hour and try to get around. I don't mean when you go to bed, either. You're not going to be trying to get about. All right, then what?
Verse 15. The leading priest and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the little children in the temple shouting, quote, praise God for the Son of David, unquote.
Well, they saw all the things the Lord is doing, but what they want to do, they want to say, God, this is God in person here on earth. No, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to persecute him, just like the devils do today to the people of the Lord. Then what?
But they were indignant.
See, indignant at people, blind people being able to see, and the lame being able to walk, and that caused them great indignation. These are just princes, right? Of course. Princes. Princes of darkness is what they were, all right. Then what?
Verse 16, and asked Jesus, quote, do you hear what these children are saying? Unquote. Quote, yes, unquote, Jesus replied. Quote, haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, quote, you have taught children and infants to give you praise, unquote. Verse 17, then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight. Jesus curses the fig tree. Verse 18. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. Verse 19. And he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see it. There weren't any figs on it, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, quote, may you never bear fruit again, exclamation mark, unquote. And immediately the fig tree withered up.
Right, you know, like this is symbolic of people that are told the truth and told what to do, and then they don't, and they die young. I'm sure that before the Lord got to the tree, he was ordering it to grow fruit. And because it didn't, he says, hey, I'm God in the flesh, and you didn't grow fruit for me, so never bear fruit again, wither up and die. If you don't bear fruit, if you're not a soul winner, wither up and die, okay? And your soul will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Take it or leave it. What are you going to do? You going to fight God? put your dukes up, God. Come on. Let's go to Front Street. Come on. Let's get it on. Nobody's ever won a battle with the Lord, so you better do what he says. Bear fruit, okay? And if you're not saved, well, then you can't bear fruit because there's no life in you, and how can you give something out of you that's not in you? In order to give life to people, you must have life in you. In order to issue or dispense life out of you, you must have that same life in you. And then to recharge that life in you, you have to get back to the Bible and read it every day and preach and teach. And if you're a novice, you're not to teach, though, because you'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So be careful. Read all the different things that will happen to you if you do good, and if you the things that will happen to you if you do evil. Because there's the blessings, and there, sure enough, is the curses. Okay, then those are all listed in the Old Testament and in the New as well. Then what?
Verse 20. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, quote, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Unquote.
Well, by disobedience. And if you have the same faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the ocean, and it'll be removed and cast into the ocean. Just a grain of a seed of mustard seed. Amen? Just the smallest seed in the world. You don't need a whole bunch of faith. All you need is just to get something like that done, or to raise somebody from the dead, or to walk on water, or to heal people, or to cast out devils. Just, you know, enough faith as small as a grain of mustard seed to believe that God can do all things. Okay, then what?
Verse 21. Then Jesus told them, quote, I assure you, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, quote, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and it will happen. Verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Unquote. The authority of Jesus challenged. Verse 23. When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching the leading priests and other... When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and other leaders came up to him. They demanded, quote, by whose authority did you drive out the merchants from the temple? Who gave you such authority? Unquote.
Well, the Word of God does. Amen?
Amen.
But then, of course, they're supposed to be teachers. They're supposed to know that already, but they're just seeing if Jesus knows the right answer. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 24, quote, I'll tell you who gave me the authority to do these things if you answer one question. Unquote, Jesus replied. Verse 25, quote, did John's baptism come from heaven, or was it merely human? Unquote. They talked it over among themselves. Quote, if we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe him. Verse 26, but if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people think he is a prophet. Unquote. Verse 27, so they finally replied, quote, we don't know. Unquote. And Jesus responded, quote, then I won't answer your questions either, unquote. The story of the two sons, verse 28, quote, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the other boy, quote, son, go out and work in the vineyard today, unquote. Verse 29, the son answered, quote, no, I won't go, unquote. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Verse 30, then the father told the other son, quote, you go, unquote. And he said, quote, yes, sir, I will, unquote. But he didn't go. Verse 31, quote, which of the two was obeying his father, unquote. They replied, quote, the first, of course, unquote. Then Jesus explained his meaning. Quote, I assure you, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. Verse 32, for John the Baptist came and showed you the way to life, and you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to turn from your sins and believe him. The story of the evil farmers. Verse 33. Quote, now listen to this story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to 10 farmers and moved to another country. Verse 34. At the time of grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. Verse 35. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Verse 36. So the landowner sent a large group of his servants to collect for him, but the results were the same. Verse 37. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, quote, surely they will respect my son, unquote. Verse 38. But when the farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, quote, here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves, exclamation mark, unquote.
Yeah, never thinking that, they're going to have to stand judgment, that the Lord God has seen all of it. This is all symbolic of the people that the Lord left here on earth to do his will. And the Lord sees everybody, very few people doing it. And all the rest of them are going to be as the people that were on earth at the time of Noah, when God sent the flood to choke them all and drown them all and send their souls to hell in the lake of fire. And this is going to be the same thing today. There's so many diversities of things to do in this world today, and people are just spending the money on themselves, drinking and banqueting and having all kinds of things to do, universities, colleges, all different kinds of subjects. It's more than 31 flavors. You know, if you don't like one, the devil will offer you another. If you don't like that, he'll give you another, and that'll just keep you busy all your life until your life ends, and then you'll wonder, well, why you're standing before the judgment bar of God. But God sent little old me into this world to tell you what's going to happen when you stand before the judgment bar of God. He's going to tell you to depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. Your souls will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire unless you repent. Now, these messages are given to you for an opportunity to hear the truth and repent from the things that you're doing today so that you don't have to be in that position. You have to think about the big picture, you know, the final scene. You know, every play has got a scene, the last scene, before the curtain comes down. Okay, and you're going to be standing at the judgment bar of God, and then the curtain's going to come down. You'll try to beat your way through the curtain, maybe. I don't think so, because the Lord, he showed me how fast souls will go up before him and sent to hell. It'll be before you ever even have a chance to answer, because you've heard the truth, and now you're responsible. You're responsible for what you know, and you're not responsible for what you don't know. And you're responsible to learn the Word of God. You must learn it. If you deliberately try to not know it, you're even doubly responsible. So listen in good, and then, let your will choose the right way. Every one of us has a free will, and you can choose to believe the Lord and do what he says, or just do your own thing. But you're not going to like it at final curtain call when the last scene is over. But if you do, it's going to be a joyous thing for you. You're going to be able to get into heaven, and you're going to be there forevermore. You don't ever have to worry about anything again. Everything is perfect. You will even look perfect, and you'll even, there's no imperfection in heaven. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the beautiful things that God has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments. You love his word. When you say, I can't see God, yes, you can open the Bible. The Bible says that the word is God. So you can see God, but you can't see him and live. In other words, you can't look at the word of God and live your own life. Because if you read the Word of God and then live your own life, you're not going to be in heaven. So you can see, read the Word of God, but you can't live your own life. You have to begin letting God live out His life in and through you, because He bought you with His own life and blood, and therefore you owe your life as a living sacrifice to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Him. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Listen, I've studied the Word for 40 years, and I've got a real brilliant mind. You say, well, if you're so brilliant, how come you didn't make money? I've made literally billions of dollars for other people and millions for myself in my lifetime. And so don't be using that saying on me, if you so smart, why ain't you rich? Because I gave that sort of stuff up to serve the Lord. And any money that comes into this church, it gets spent on the Lord. Or fighting off the Antichrist government that keeps wanting to kill us or persecute us or throw us into prison. All right, then what?
Verse 39. So they grabbed him, took him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. Verse 40. When the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asks, what do you think he will do to those farmers?
In other words, when the Lord comes back to earth again, what do you think he's going to do to all you people that have murdered, persecuted the children of the Lord? What do you think he's going to do to you? Then what was their answer?
Verse 41, the religious leaders replied, quote, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others, who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest, unquote.
Right. Well, they knew that, and the Lord, they did, but they had to wake up to find out that the Lord was really talking about them. The Lord's going to put them to a horrible death, one that lasts eternally. You know what eternity is? It means it never ends. It's like an ionic pentameter. It just keeps going and going and going. And when you think it's the worst, it gets worse. And when you think that's the worst it can ever be, it gets worse. Just every time you dasn't have any thoughts of that it's the worst that it's going to be, because then it gets cranked up some more. That's the way it really is. Lord showed me it. Then what else?
Verse 42. Then Jesus asked them, quote, didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see, unquote.
So Jesus is the stone that they rejected, and then he became the cornerstone of heaven, the cornerstone of everything in the universe that's going to live on forever. Then what?
Verse 43.
So they knew they rejected Jesus. And then he said, they know that he's saying that he's the chief cornerstone. Okay, then what?
What I mean is that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit.
Yeah, a nation of people that do the will of God. And, I mean, everything that God says. Because the Bible said if you break one of the least commandments, you've broken them all. We've got people, new people that just come into the church, one person that I know of, that says, well, if I told a lie, does that mean that I'm going to hell and there's no chance for me to repent? This person is filled with lust. He still has not given his entire life over to the Lord. And therefore, I don't really believe that he's still saved. And when he turns his life completely over to the Lord, and that he knows all the things of the Lord, he won't be trying to find, and he turns and gives his whole life to the Lord. He will not be trying to find any way, any escape hatch to get out of the house of God. There's no ropes or chains or bars here at this church. If people want to leave, they can. But don't try to find an excuse because of things that I've told you that can get your soul, release your soul out into the world. Just go if that's the way you feel. Because you're a free moral agent. This person actually came to me and told me that he's just lusting after girls all the time and stuff. And how do you get rid of that? And I told him, just give your whole life over to the Lord. You still got one foot in the world and the other one in the funeral parlor. Okay? And you better get right with the Lord. You're not really thinking as the Lord. You don't have the mind of Christ yet. If you're going to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord, you have to give yourself away to Him completely. If I give a gift to you, if I sent you a box of candy, I don't think that box of candy is mine anymore. I can't tell you how to use it. You could throw it in the trash if you want to, or you could guzzle it all down in one day or make it last for a month. Or you could give it out to other people if you want. That's yours to do with what you want. And if you give your life to the Lord, it's His because He paid for you, and He can use you any way that He wants. And He wants you, first of all, to turn your entire being over to Him and to allow for you to allow Him to live in you and work in you and through you and give yourself completely to His service. But if you're thinking about lusting or women, or if you're a woman you're thinking about men, or if you're thinking about drugs or something like that, you have not turned your entire life over to the Lord yet. And that's why you're having so much trouble. The book of James says, from whence cometh fightings and wars? It comes from the lusts in your body. You haven't turned your whole life over. You can't control your tongue even. You can't control your mind. There's no control over it. You have to give your entire self as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable duty unto the Lord, so that He can take control of your life. If you don't let Him do that, you're always going to be in torment because you can't live in, halfway in the world and halfway in the Lord. You're always going to be tormented because you're going to be seeing things in the world that you want and lust after. And then the Lord says, no, you can't. And you're going to say, well, eventually you're going to go and do it. So if you value your soul, if you value eternity, if you value the promises that the Lord gives you, if you value that He gave His life so that it'd be possible that you could possess these promises, well, then immediately turn your life over to the Lord, and you will not have these lusts anymore. Just keep your nose in the Bible, which is in the Lord, because the Bible, again, the Word of God, is God. The first chapter of John says that. And then all these lusts will leave you. If you keep your mind upon the Lord and the Lord only, you'll be like trees planted by the water. If you keep your mind on the Lord, stayed upon Him, you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. But there'll be no peace to the wicked. Those of you that got one eye on the world and half of an eye on the Lord, or one and a half eyes on the Lord, or two eyes on the world, you're so easily swayed from the things, the promises that the Lord gives you in His Word, and you're so easily influenced by the world. You're not to allow anything other than the Lord to influence you. The world has nothing for you because the entire world is condemned. It's going to burn everything that's in this world. Guys that you like, girls that you got your eyes on, they're all going to perish. Okay, so just do what the Lord says. If you want perfect peace and a sound mind in this world that's full of violence and sin and corruption, that's the only way you're going to have peace. Really, there's nothing more important. Supposing you don't do that and tonight you die, then what did it prosper you to live another day or another few hours in sin? If you give yourself unto the Lord, you say, well, I don't know if I'd be able to make it in a few years. If you give your life over to the Lord, and He knows that, He might take you on. You'll be in heaven forevermore. You say, but I don't want to die now because I want to have some of the parts of the world to... Oh, you're thinking the wrong way again. Put on the Bible. Put on God. Put on the mind of Christ, and then you'll be fine. Okay? There's no other greater thing for you to do than what I'm telling you, what the Bible says to do. Okay, then what?
Verse 44. Anyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces.
Anyone that stumbles or is offended at the Word of God, that I'm telling you, look, turn your back on the world, and that stumbles you, that means that you're offended at the Word of God. And the Word of God is just helping you, telling you, you know, that this is the way to go to heaven. And it makes you uptight. Makes you want to go to Front Street, Duke City. Won't do you any good. Okay, then what?
And it will crush anyone on whom it falls.
Yeah, the Word of God is going to crush you if you don't get into the stream of it. Get into the stream of the Word of God, the Spirit, and you'll be fine. But if you go against the Word, it crushes you and sends your soul everlastingly to hell, to an everlasting hell. Then what?
Verse 45. When the leading priests and Pharisees heard Jesus, they realized he was pointing at them, that they were the farmers in his story. Verse 46. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid to try because the crowds considered Jesus to be a prophet.
All right. That was the 46 verses of the 21st chapter of Matthew, and now to translate, that was the translation, and now the commentary.
21 verses 18 through 22. Jesus again commented on the power of faith. Seemingly impossible answers to prayer, including life, transforming the human life in the growth process to the fullness of the stature of Christ, can occur as we live by faith and grow in our commitment to the Lord.
I wonder why people, it just often blows me away why people act so sad when you tell them that they have to turn completely to God, as though God were a bad thing to turn yourself over to. They just love the world so much that it just seems like torture to them to just sacrifice their worthless, meaningless. And it's usually people that don't have anything or never did anything in their lives or never will do anything in their lives, and they've never had enough money to really go out there and sin it up like I did before I was saved. I had enough money to where I could go out there and really sin and get involved in all types of sin, and I found out that there was no joy in it whatsoever. None whatsoever. There was nothing there. And it made me bitter that there was nothing in the world that was of any value. And I just didn't know what to do, and I became very bitter, and then the Lord saved my soul, and I just thanked and praised the Lord. And that was almost 41 years ago, and I've been so happy ever since. And there's no other happiness in the world. Believe me, if you had millions of dollars, you're not going to find it. It's not there. So it's so much better to just turn yourself over to the Lord, especially you people that are busted, you're broke, you've only got enough money for like a lid of pot or a bottle of T-Bird. Or, you know, I've been out in the entertainment industry. I know what all the guys and the girls do out there. You know, you're not kidding me. It's still the same today out there. I talk to people that are in the entertainment business all the time. And I talk to them about their souls, and they come to my church. We have people that they come to my church that are musicians, and also that are singers, arrangers. And I know that what they're doing. They tell me, okay, it's the same thing. They said, anything new, boys? And they say, nothing's new. It's worse. Same old, same old. Okay, then go ahead.
This passage doesn't suggest that we pray for the withering of a fig tree or the actual relocation of a mountain. It tells us, however, that incredible answers are given when we pray to God and believe that He will answer. Chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Before we begin to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, we were like the first son saying no to his father's wishes. So what you did is turned your back to the Lord and indulged in your own selfish desires. But later you saw where you were headed, to hell and the lake of fire. So therefore you changed your mind and followed the Holy Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Now the Lord didn't say we were going to like the rough road that we're going through. But you got to go through the sagebrush before you get to the picnic grounds. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, you're going to have to go through some fire to prove to the Lord that the kingdom of heaven is worth it to you to go through some trials and tribulations. Because the Bible says, let's face it, the wicked go through trials and tribulations too, but at the end of the road they go to hell, and it's even worse there. And the righteous go through trials and tribulations, but they have a consolation. A consolation prize. They get heaven after it's all over. Amen?
Amen.
So, yes, we do go through some persecution, but so do you, all you unsaved people out there. Don't say you don't, because I know you do, because I remember when I was unsaved, I went through some fire, and I didn't have any hope. I just thought, you know, this is really bad. And a lot of people out there that go through fire, they want to kill whoever's doing stuff to them, you know. And a lot of them do. A lot of them do. Remember when they had the Watts riots over here? You know, they beat up on this Rodney King, these police officers, and they kicked him and they cracked his skull open and all these different things. And then the blacks retaliated. They went and they started pulling Puerto Ricans out of the car and Hispanics and white people, and they started killing them and beating them up. Over 1,500 people were mutilated, and they started sometimes 1,500 fires in one day. Okay? So all these people that were not saved and they had businesses and their places went up on fire and all that, oh, my God, you know, we're ruined. Well, if my place is that happens to me, I say I'm not ruined because I still have a place in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, and then people write me letters and say, what do you think about blacks? And I tell them, well, there's, what do I think about Jews? What do I think about white people? What do I think about Puerto Ricans, Hispanics, and all? Well, or Latinos. Well, I'm part Latino. I'm part Italian. Okay, that's Latin. Amen?
Amen.
And so Italian and Jewish, what do I think about Jews? There's good and bad in every one of us. I know some bad Italianos. And I know some very good ones. I know some really bad black people. I can see them in the news. And I say, I know a lot of good black people and Hispanics. We have a lot of them, some of the best Christians going. So don't ask me what I think about black people, like that all of them are the same, because they're not. And in the Bible it talks about Ethiopian black people and some Africans. You know, Moses was married to an Ethiopian woman. Amen?
Amen.
And she was evidently a pretty nice lady because he kept her. All right? And so, you know, that's, as they say in the world, that's cool. All right? Amen?
Amen.
That's all right.
Although you have messed up your life many times since you've been saved, you are now obeying God. This is in sharp contrast to the son who said that he would go out to work, that he would obey, and then didn't go to work. He didn't obey. People like this may be part of the established, quote, church, unquote, and think they are following God. They are far from his ways. They say that we're pacing ourselves. Our change of heart and lifestyles will gain us eternal life, permanent life. Their dealing will earn them eternal punishment.
All right, and that was the commentary of chapter 21. And now we have the part 4 of regeneration.
The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. Now, regeneration is not only God entering into us, the entering into us of God's permanent, everlasting life. It is also the birth of Christ within us. So Christ is born in people every day, because he is begotten in us by the Holy Spirit. As God's life enters into us in Christ and regenerates us into eternal life, everlasting, permanent life, it is on one hand God's life entering into us, and on the other hand, it can be said that Christ is born in us.
That's what it means, born again. We were born of the human, into the human race. And then when Christ is born into us, that means we've been regenerated or born, Christ is born into us. And as we read the Word of God, then he grows up to the fullness in us so that we can be the continuation of Christ in us, the regeneration of Christ living in us. And therefore, Christ can do his work in us if we'll let him grow in us. And that must take place on a daily basis. We must keep inserting Christ in us by reading his word, because Christ is the Word of God. And the Word of God is spirit and life. And therefore, just keep pouring the Spirit of God in you, and you'll be surprised how much of God will enter into you, and pretty soon God will start working through. God does not like it when you make up stuff to do for God. You don't have to get anxious about, am I doing, you know, God, I got to think what to do. I've got to do this today. I've got to just relax and let God. The main thing you got to do is get the Word of God in you every day and pray and all that, and then let the Spirit move on you to do what God wants to do. And it's otherwise, it's not a work of God. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be something that He can work in to do His work, so that you and He together can be called the work of God, done in you, in your human body. All right? Okay, then what?
The birth of Christ in us means that Christ is born once more. Every time a person is regenerated, every time the Spirit of God enters into them, Christ is born in one more human being. Humanity becomes that part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth to overthrow Satan's kingdom. Hence, regeneration is the birth of Christ within us.
Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. All right, well now, until tomorrow, Matthew chapter 22, we'll be doing, God willing, in part 5 of regeneration. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, keep your eyes on the Lord, open the Bible, get in there today, and set aside a bunch of the nonsense that you ordinarily do every day, and put your eyes totally on the Lord. Turn your whole life around to Him, and you will not have any lust anymore. I don't care if you won't have women. If you just serve the Lord, give everything to the Lord. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Lord God, and all of His righteousness, and then God will give you the woman of your life. God will give you the man of your life. He'll add all things unto you that He knows that you need, and it'll be the perfect man of God or the perfect woman of God. God has created a perfect person for you to live with on this earth before even the foundation of the world. And you'll never know who that person is unless you put your eyes, put all your seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and then God will add all the other things unto you in Jesus' name. This is Pastor Lama saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.